kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Picture Show on News Talk.
And now we turn to Phil Lord and Chris Miller. And I'm delighted to say that they are joining us to talk about their enormously inventive animated feature, Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse, which opens in Irish cinemas on the 14th, that's next Friday of December. And I spoke to Chris and Phil from London on Thursday, and I began by asking them about the reports that the studio Sony Pictures already wanted a sequel and several spin-offs from In the Spider-Verse.
Well, we just finished this movie literally about 2 weeks ago, so... We're just taking a small nap after this, but you know, we've put our heart and soul into this one, and we're really proud of it. So that's a great thing for the near future.
Yeah. Now, a few years ago, I'm sure you remember this, all the main studios were closing down their animation units. That now seems to have changed, and we appear to be going through a golden age of animation. Is that how you'd see it?
Yeah, we agree with you, and we think we're just at the very beginning. You know, the tools that filmmakers have now are so powerful, and what we try to do on this picture was, instead of adapting the artist to the tool, we're trying to adapt the tool to the artist. Trying to find ways to let the computer technology support artists, you know, interpretations on the screen. And that turns out to be extremely complicated and require a lot of new technology. But the end result is that you really feel like you're watching a handmade film, and you are, because you're not just watching, you know, the amazing lighting that the artists put together, but you're also watching animators draw directly onto the frame, and you really start to feel that the tooth of the paper that people are drawing on, and I think that results in a much more emotional experience.
Yeah, it's a blend of both CG, 3D, and 2D hand-drawn styles together. It took artists four times as long to do. It took an animator a week to do 1 second of animation on this movie because it's so unique. But the end result is feeling like you are inside of a moving three-dimensional comic book that's been brought to life. And it's like nothing anyone's ever seen before.
Yeah. And this fits in with what you have just been saying. It took a year. I read somewhere that it took a year for your production team to create 10 seconds of footage that they were happy with.
Yes, I mean, from the very beginning, we thought, you know, what if we could make the picture look like the expressive feeling that you get from the concept art, and not just inspired by the concept art, but literally the concept art, but moving around in three dimensions. And everyone was really excited about trying to figure out how to do that, but no one had any idea how to actually get it done. And so it took a year of trial and error and figuring out things and building new software and making each frame a bespoke piece of art that until we could get something we all, us and the directors, were like, yes, this is what it should look like. Now just do 90 more minutes of this and we'll be good.
And as well as all that, then you accumulated, I suppose is the right word, a collection of great offbeat voice cast. You have Nicolas Cage, Liev Schreiber, Mahershala Ali, Zoe Kravitz. That's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky that so many talented people wanted to be a part of this. We started with Jake Johnson and Shameik Moore, who, you know, both have really idiosyncratic, specific voices and bring a lot of authenticity and humor into the recording booth. You know, those records were really rehearsals where we workshopped a lot of ideas, and that went all the way down the line with the rest of the cast. You know, Brian Tyree Henry, who plays Miles' dad, and Luna Velez, who plays his mother, and you know, we had just a wealth of contributions from all these folks. Lily Tomlin, the great Lily Tomlin,
yeah,
as Aunt May.
Yeah, she's great. She's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it was really everyone got a chance to shine in this movie, and we, you know, the choices that we got for some of the characters like Nicolas Cage and John Mulaney were sort of off the wall, but they ended up bringing so much to the parts that they really added a lot, and so we were really just lucky to benefit from so much talent.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if usually when you talk about a budget for movies, you get them wrong. Well, I do anyway. The budget I saw for this was $90 million, which is, I think, relatively inexpensive. What were the most demanding scenes in the film from your perspective?
Well, what's interesting is in animation, obviously the big action sequences are tremendously complex and they take a long time to figure out, and they require a lot of people hours to make work. But the things that are actually the most challenging are the subtle things. You know, we have a few shots that are quite long in this picture where we wanted you to really be in Miles' world and spend some time with him. So his first shot in the movie is, I can't remember, Chris, it's like a 30-second one-er that requires a lot of nuanced animation performance and camera work, and that took 3 months.
Yes, it took an animator 3 months to do that shot.
So the emotional scenes where there's a lot of subtle performance and story content in between the lines, those are the hardest things to pull off.
Yeah. Are you doing a feature called The Mitchells versus the Machine? That sounds great. About a dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional but loving family, whose international road trip gets interrupted by what's called a tech uprising.
Yes, it is from the mind of Mike Rianda, who was the director of this show called Gravity Falls, and we got to know him and got to see the work that he was doing, and we thought this guy is a rare find who understands both how to give a movie emotion and heart and make you care about it and also be really, really hysterical and have a really new, fresh take on comedy. And so we just wanted to be in business with him. And the movie is really sweet and funny and charming and you know,
prescient.
Yes, exactly. And so we were trying to, you know, what we were trying to do in everything that we are involved with is like just offer the world something unique, something they haven't seen before, and something that can make them feel something so they don't have to be numb and dead inside.
And just finally, guys, it was announced shortly after Stan Lee's untimely passing that he recorded a cameo for the movie. And it would be his last voice acting role. Is that true?
He is in the movie and in a very very poignant part of the film. I mean, the whole movie is built on his and Steve Ditko's legacy and their and the message that they wanted to send of that you can be a hero too. Their very inclusive message that they did with Spider-Man back in the 60s. Is the message of this movie as well. And so we knew we wanted to honor him with a very prominent cameo. And so this one obviously has taken on new levels of poignancy after his passing, but it was always intended to be very inspiring and funny. So hopefully everyone will feel the same way that we do about it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for all that, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And good luck. Good luck with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time.
The Picture Show.
Is this where you're going to be a star?
On News Talk 101.9.